Welcome to Rule Breaker Lifestyle Podcast, rewriting limiting rules and creating choices that empower our souls. I'm your host, Cammie Kennedy, tomboy microbiologist turned diet recovery expert, published fitness model, lifestyle renovator, and health blogger. The show is meant for women who want to live life on their own terms with extra cookie dough, gratitude, self-love, and taking action. From health and wellness to faith and mindset, we will own abundance and turn challenges into opportunities. Hey, Rule Breakers, it's Cammie here, introducing our guest today, Diane Flores. What I love about this conversation today is that it feels so authentic because her and I are friends and we kind of just let the conversation flow. Diane owns a sensual dance movement studio in California, but has a background in bodybuilding and fitness competitions. So she really comes from that background of body dysmorphia and really doing mindset shifts around what's going on inside your head. So today we have a longer episode because we really got into it, and I know we'll have her back on the show again. So I hope that you love this interview. And again, you can find all of the show notes at CammieKennedy.com/episode007. Hey, Diane, thanks for being on.
Hey, Cammie, I'm excited to be here. You know it.
I know. I'm so excited. So we've interviewed a couple times together, so I'm excited to have you back on again. There will be a bio in the beginning, so I'm not going to go into all your details, but give the viewers or the listeners kind of an idea of what you're up to, where you came from, and then what you're doing now.
Sure. So I have a brick and mortar movement studio, which is a pole dancing, sensual movement, and also a fitness studio. So we do some traditional type fitness, boot camp style workouts as well. I also have a blog where I do some online stuff, which is livingthegoddesslife.com. And that's pretty much where I spend my time. I'm blessed to have an amazing staff that works for me at the studio. So right now I'm more running the behind the scenes of my studio that allows me more freedom and flexibility in my lifestyle, and then also able to create more things for the online space.
I love that. And I love because we've known each other for a couple of years now. I've seen you kind of grow in your business and mindset and everything. So I love everything that you put out. I know you just had that sensual movement program that you did a couple months ago, which was awesome. Ugh. Yeah, that was,
cool. So much fun.
So talk to our listeners about, so you came from like a traditional weightlifting background, and then somehow you got into this whole sensual movement thing. So what is that, and how'd you even get into it?
Okay. I'm going to give you the short version. I've been in and out of interest with exercise for a very long time. Just super, super interested in, like starting at a young age with being into like jazzercise and just aerobics, and my mom had like Buns of Steel and stuff like that. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but it's
yes, I know her. That's Tammy Lee Webb. I actually know her in real life.
And then, as a youngster in high school, I started weightlifting in sophomore year only because I wanted to avoid running in PE. And my girlfriend and I were literally the only two girls in that PE class. So that's where my first like love of weight training started, where it spawned. I was like, this is amazing. I love feeling strong and being like a girl in a weight room, because it just didn't exist. And it's still kind of not as prevalent as I wish it was in a weight room is women. But yeah, so it started then. And, I had my kids at a very young age, got pregnant in high school, and, shelved my fitness for a while, gained a significant amount of weight with, my first pregnancy, got a little smarter on the second one, started working out in the gym and eventually ended up working at a gym as a second job when I was my single mom days at Gold's Gym in the daycare. So I would see all these competitors come in and just was like, oh my gosh, someday I want to do this. So I started becoming obsessed with Oxygen Magazine, Muscle and Fitness, hers, every publication I could possibly get my hands on that had to do with weight training. They didn't have much for women at the time. But I would just, in terms of like books, but I would get my hands on anything and I would just start following programs and people were starting to come to me for advice on diet and exercise. And then I got into the medical field, just kind of did my fitness, you know, on the side. I'd go in waves like a lot of people do, where I'd work out really well for 3 months and then I wouldn't do anything for a while. Fast forward, I kind of still dabbled in exercise, but I wasn't really serious about it. And then I started my pole dancing studio, and that was on a whim. I don't know how much of that story you want.
That's my favorite story. So we're definitely going to dive into that story because I love it so much. And the way you tell it is just like so matter of fact. You're always just like, yeah. And then I started my own pole studio and I'm like, hold up, wait a minute. So yeah. I want to read you the description that I have for this podcast. And I want to just like kind of take you through the journey and then follow up with a question. But this is what I kind of came up with, and it's ever working. I said this about Rule Breaker Lifestyle Podcast. We're rewriting limiting rules and creating empowered choices that speak directly to our souls. So my question for you and every guest is, what rules did you break in order to honor and empower your soul?
I would say most definitely breaking the mindset that I was a victim of my circumstances. I would say that I lived in a very narrow mindset early on in my, you know, early 20s. And it was very much like, I'm a victim of my circumstances. I was a single mom, raising two kids on welfare, you know, government assistant, every possible government assistant program you could possibly imagine I was utilizing. I was working two jobs. And so I think for me, it would be really easy. And I love my family dearly. They're just not of the growth mindset. It's very much just, you know, like go punch a clock and just, this is just where we're from. My dad has like a third grade education. You know, my parents, my mom barely graduated high school. I think she, you know, she graduated with a GED, which is totally fine, but they just are very different mindset. And so it would have been very easy for me to just settle for that and think that was what I was destined to be, was just, you know, a broke single mom. And I just knew I wanted better. I wanted better for my children. I wanted to lead as a role model for them and show them that I could overcome, really, really difficult circumstances. And, I still lead with that mindset. If somebody tells me I can't do something, I almost like want to do it that much more.
I totally get that. But how did you, like you said, like your family had a different mindset. You didn't really grow up with that like poured into you. So how did you even make that shift from a mom? I mean, it's hard. You were young. You were still a kid yourself when you had your first kid. So what was your journey like over, and how long did it even take to get to where you are right now? Because it's not like a light switch. But what's the first time somebody who's in that mindset?
I would say surround yourself with people who are better than you. Mm-hmm. I was constantly reading and I was obsessed with reading things about things that were of interest to me. You know, really, I think I read something early on, and I'm so glad that I did, which was more of, you know, I think a lot of times that we focus on improving our weaknesses, which I think there should be some validity to doing that. But I knew what my strengths were and what my passions were early on and what I was excited about and what got me like fired up. And so I would recommend and I would do over again, the kind of the same thing and just immersing myself in things that I was super interested in and passionate about. And just reading. Like there's a wealth of knowledge at our fingertips. And I think because of the digital day and age, it's so easy to just get sucked into social media or, you know, the latest and greatest TV shows. And I'm not saying that there isn't some stress relief in that, but constantly learning, reading, and growing about things that interest you and you are passionate about. And that's really how it all started for me.
I totally agree with that, with the whole social media, TV. And I find myself, I do it as an escape, right? So like I don't want to deal with whatever it is. So it's like a numbing mechanism. So it can get really easy
to
scroll and watch TV and not do anything for 3 hours versus listening to an audiobook or a podcast or something.
Absolutely.
So what are your book recommendations or podcasts, or what are the most influential things that you can remember and share with us?
Oh yeah. I love this topic. So right now, I really am inspired by interviews on successful people and entrepreneurs, and really just like saturating my brain with the things that they do and the habits that have afforded them like to live the lifestyle that they do and influence people. And so I really love like Lewis Howes is one of my top favorites. He interviews some really remarkable people. Marie Forleo has been one that sort of like projected me into the whole online space when I did B school. And she's got her podcast out, which is great too. And then Tim Ferriss, he interviews, I'm sure tons of people who listen to this podcast would agree that he's very influential, remarkable human, does very unconventional things and learns from them. He kind of uses himself as a science experiment, which I love. And so learning from his podcast has been great. And then as far as books, I would say I have bought a paperback book at a garage sale. I don't even know, 5 or 6 years ago, was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I think it's been updated by the version I have is very old, but that was one of my favorites early on. And it was just about like the power of mastermind and just mindset in general. And then books that I constantly go back to, I would say in my archives that I revisit, is Loving What Is by Byron Katie, and The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And then lastly is The Subtle Art of Not Giving a You Know What by Mark. I don't know how family friendly this is, but by Mark Manson. And then last but not least, which is kind of an opposite of that book, but I just like to say that I compassionately give AF, but the book is by the Dalai Lama and it's How to Be Compassionate.
Okay.
And that sits on my nightstand. And it's sort of one of those things when I'm trying to like dial down my brain from the day and like get off social media, I'll read like a chapter or two and just reminds me like how to be a better human.
That is so amazing. I love that you had like a list. That's awesome. Cause I love linking all of these and I will. It's funny. You mentioned a couple of things. We've overlapped on a few. I haven't gotten into Marie Forleo. I know of her, but I just haven't listened to her. What is her podcast called?
Her podcast is actually, you know what? It is the Marie Forleo podcast.
Okay.
Actually.
That's it. Simple Perfect. Enough. Okay. Perfect. I'll put that in the show notes. So I love Tim Ferriss. He's always just like, he's just very intellectual and he's very, I would say, open-minded. Like he just, like you said, he has really different perceptions, which is similar to what the Rule Breaker Lifestyle podcast is. It's like, why do we have to do things a certain way? Right. So I love him. And then interesting, I made the podcast for myself, honestly. I love it. I love it for me and it always, it pours into me. So the fact that you said this whole how to be compassionate, I was just asking myself that question the other day. You know, you get in a mood, you start to get annoyed with everybody and you just like, maybe you don't want to talk to people or you just don't want to communicate. And I asked myself this question, like, how can I be more empathetic or how can I be more compassionate? So now we have a tool that we can use instead of scrolling on Instagram before bed. We can read a book that's going to better us.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, it's a great one. I love it.
That's good. I'm definitely going to put that on the list and follow your lead with that. Mm-hmm. With that, let's dive into my next question, kind of about personal growth. Do you have a morning routine?
So it's funny you mentioned that. I just, I'm shifting some gears for 2018. So I signed up with a new business coach, and morning routines are something that I'm like obsessed with nailing down. I think that's one of the reasons why I listen to some of these podcasts that interview high performing entrepreneurs, because I'm like, what is this magic juice that they're like drinking every day that they're getting so much done? And so for me, it's pretty standard. A few things are pretty standard. I've been waking up generally around 6 a.m. I try to get up before my son is up. I homeschool him now, so that has definitely changed my morning routine. So I get up and I will come down, I'll have some coffee, and then typically I find that I have a much more productive day. And it also helps with my mood and, you know, kind of battle, like keep my anxiety / depression at bay, is getting my exercise done first thing in the morning versus procrastinating and trying to do it in the afternoon. So typically we'll do that. And then I'm really working on bringing back my meditations. I'm looking into transcendental meditation because I know that it makes me feel even that much more productive and clear. But usually I'll do that. And then in terms of like my to-do list, I try to get my high priority tasks done first before I start dabbling in like email and Instagram and Facebook. And I pride myself on having a journal and a to-do list, and I will brain dump everything the night before. So that way in the morning, I don't have to jiggle my marbles around in my head and try to figure out what I need to do first. I know exactly what I need to tackle, and I try to avoid the procrastination monster as best as possible.
That's so good. And it's so, I mean, there's so many things on our to-do list. It's just like, you never cross them all off. So how do you deal with that? Like you said, how do you deal with the anxiety of having all these things on your list and maybe you only get 2 or 3 done?
Right. That is a good question. I still, to this day, will at times struggle with feeling like, man, I didn't do enough. And then especially, I'm sure some of your listeners are familiar with like the Gary V's, and you know, like they're like, dude, it's like 24/7, you know, just on all the time. And I really try to give myself like 3 big ticket items that I know when, if I get those done in the day, the rest is like a bonus. Like if, and I will, like I'm looking at my to-do list right now and there's probably like, I don't know, 20 things on there that I need, I want to finish before tomorrow. But I know like what can wait till Monday, and realistically, like what is a hot fire and needs to be done. And I just allow myself to, if it's written down, I know it's not going to be forgotten. That is the biggest thing. If I don't write it down, it's kind of floating. I call it like a bunch of sticky notes floating around in my head. And I just like, I'm preoccupied. I'm not present with like my family or my loved ones because I'm constantly thinking like, oh, I don't want to forget that. I don't want to forget that. So it has to go written down, like straight up pencil on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And there's another thing that I got from Tim Ferriss. He has a podcast and a blog on the morning pages. Have you heard of it?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. So definitely. I'll do that. I don't do it always, but I do find that when I wake up and just like write, and I just write crazy stuff, like whatever comes into my head, I'm like, I need to do laundry. And then I look, I'm like, wait, groceries, chicken, meat. And I just start writing all these random thoughts down. But then afterwards I'm just like, okay, now I'm ready to go. Like I got all those random things out of my head.
Yeah, totally. And journaling is a huge part of my life as well. And that's something that kind of goes in waves for me. And I got off track with probably the last couple months. I tend to rely on it if I'm going through some stuff in life or I just am feeling stuck with something. But yeah, I'm a huge advocate of just getting it all out of your head and writing it down for sure.
Well, how about addressing that too? Because you know, we get in a rut, something happens with work or life or relationship and you kind of get bummed out. And then you mentioned a couple of things and I do the same thing. We all do. When we know the things that are good for us, we're like, hey, I know journaling's good and I know meditation is good. Why is it so hard to do it, right? When you know that that's the thing you want to need. So what's your perspective on that?
Well, I think a lot of times it's, you're obviously meeting it with resistance. And it's like those things that we're meeting with resistance. It's like, there's something there. I always tell myself, okay, why am I resisting this so bad? I'm resisting it because I don't want to crack open and like maybe have a little bit of a meltdown or deal with some emotions that I'm really don't want to deal with or avoid difficult conversations with certain people. And I'm of the mindset now that I'm very much like all about authenticity and being really honest and sometimes too honest, but I think it's easier to avoid and ignore those things that need to be dealt with because they're uncomfortable and like, you know, your confrontation, whether it's with somebody else or with yourself. And I also think, and this can lead into another topic, I think that that's a lot of the reason why people go to things like overeating and binging and alcohol and other things in order to avoid the things that they really need to deal with. Because I know I'm totally guilty of that too, over-exercising. So it's definitely could be a topic for another podcast for sure.
I know, right? But I guess I just like to let people know because people get on here, they might see you or hear you and be like, wow, she's really got it together. Or they might think that about me. And I like to, like you said, be authentic and be like, you know what? No, I slept on the couch the other night. Like I didn't want to get off the couch, you know, like we just have those days, but same thing. I had a situation last week. I was like, I'm not feeling good. And I knew I was having resistance. I knew I needed to go to church. And that was my thing. I finally went. I held myself accountable. I texted a friend, went. All of a sudden, my whole day was better the next day. I was like, see, that's all I needed to do. So it really is just do it, take one step, and then see the outcome. And the outcome is always better, right? So it's funny that we fight it because the outcome is always a good outcome.
Yeah, exactly. And it's very much like I was talking with a friend the other day and I was, you know, kind of telling him the whole rundown with just, I like to just get things off my chest. Like I'm the type of person that for me, if there's something I need to deal with or like somebody we're having a discussion and I really want to think about, I actually have to like have some time to think about it so I can communicate clearly what I'm feeling without just spouting off like what wants to come out, you know, sometimes like you're triggered by like emotions and things come out and they not exactly how you wanted them to. And, you know, I want to be honest, but I also want to be considerate of the other person's feelings. Something that I've really worked on the last year with is communication and reading a lot of books on communication and just, something so simple, but comes down to just putting yourself in the other person's shoes when you are trying to communicate something to somebody or tell them how you feel or address something you're not happy with. And just seeing it from the other person's perspective has been a huge help and mindset shift for me for sure.
That's so good. And I'm glad you shared that because I think that relates a lot to overall wellness. You know, people will come to us because they want to lose weight or get in control of their eating, but there's these issues that are unresolved, like you said, that are actually the root cause for their overeating. So it's like, well, you might need to communicate with somebody and that's going to help you with your problem of overeating. So I'm curious, do you have any of the resources for those communication books that you read that you want to share?
Yeah, let me pull up my Audible. Okay. One that I really love is Brené Brown. That's the author. She's got some really great ones like Rising Strong, The Power of Vulnerability is another really good one. And honestly, like I'm really into learning about relationships and the way that we are, because I think it's easy to get into learning about stuff, you know, like for us entrepreneurs and business and things like that. But we weren't born with an instruction manual on how to have successful intimate relationships or, you know, relationships with other people. And so I've been really geeking out on Esther Perel's stuff, which her old book is Mating in Captivity. And then her latest is The State of Affairs. And those two are just really great different perspectives on kind of like your, you know, your intimate relationships with your partner, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. So those have been really eye-opening. I like to listen to things that I may not really agree with just to give me a different perspective and stuff to chew on. Mm-hmm. Maybe my way is not always the right way. Maybe.
Yeah.
And so, so it gives me, yeah, I know, just maybe. So it gives me some stuff to think about and just kind of spurs different ideas and topics, especially with coaching women. You know, I know everybody wants like the latest flat ab workout or meal plan that they're going to lose a bunch of weight with, but the reality, and you and I both know this, is that you can Google that stuff all day long. It's at your fingertips for free. And if it was that easy, everyone would do it. The real problem lies with what goes on between the ears and what you're dealing with there usually determines how your body, you know, how your body looks, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is a good, so you gave us so many, and it's funny, Brené Brown has come up on all, pretty much every single one of my podcast interviews that I've had so far. So it's kind of funny that that's it's just like standard reading, standard issued reading that everybody needs to take a look at. But I want to go back into sensual movement because I think that correlates with this kind of emotional healing that you're talking about and this kind of being open. Mm-hmm. And when we did our interview before, when you were launching sensual movement, we were kind of just talking about like, why are women so scared to like own their feminine power, right? Like we're kind of taught to be strong and tough and do everything. And that there's some power in being really feminine and being okay with that. So talk to me about that and how that's helped your journey.
Wow. So many ways. It's like, you know, like we have two arms and two legs, and I feel like if, you know, someone came to me and said like, okay, you can never do sensual movement again, I'd be like, just cut off one of my limbs. You know, like I think that'd be like that for like one limb for, you know, sensual movement, one for weight training, one for yoga, you know, like I have like such a diverse, like current fitness regimen, and it's more of like a lifestyle regimen, but sensual movement for me has been, it's literally been the gateway to being unapologetically who I am. And it wasn't always that way. It allowed me to feel like I can have a voice in multiple scenarios, in, you know, relationships, in society, in being a better, well-rounded woman in terms of like being accepting of my body and all of its different shapes and sizes and forms that it takes over the years with, you know, life changes. And it's been incredibly empowering, and I've seen the magic that it's worked with my clients. You know, some of them unable to break out of bad habits and old relationship patterns. And now they're like completely have transformed. Obviously their body takes different shape, and that's a side effect, but the emotional stuff and the mindset stuff that comes with it has been, I would say, the biggest perk in terms of, watching women just completely, you know, change how they thought. Like they thought they were coming in for like a sexy workout, and they're like, okay, yeah, this will be fun. It's better than like getting on the elliptical. And then they are addicted, and they're just like, I feel like such a badass. Like I can climb a pole. I'm also like a nurse and like save lives, you know, like I have women of all walks of life. And so it's been like like they, it has taught me so much. And I know these women come in and they feel like I've done something for them. And I'm like, you have no idea what you have done for me. Mm-hmm. Like it just feeds me to like want to get it out to more people. And even the online program has been great. You know, I have a private Facebook group with these women and they're doing the workouts at home and just like reconnecting to like a part of them they feel that they've lost because they've been in such like a masculine either like workforce or been told that it's not okay to feel sexy. So it's, yeah, it's beautiful. I love it. It's very near and dear to my heart, even though I'm like a hardcore bodybuilder, like to lift heavy things. Like this is the mushy, ushy, gushy side of me.
And that's why I love you, because you realize that you need both sides. And this whole like masculine and feminine thing is new to me. I've probably learned about it in the past 2 years. So when I met you, I was like, this is amazing. I love what she does. Like, it's just so, it's badass. Like that's the only way to put it. You've got both, you're honoring both parts of yourself. So I love that.
Yes,
I want to totally. I want to go back to body image, because I can tell you, I've done a couple, because my weight's gone up and down and back and forth. And I've had definitely different perceptions of how I looked and felt. And, you know, we tend as women to put a number to like, hey, if I'm at this number, I feel good. And if I'm not, I don't feel good. So talk about women at the front door the first time. And they're like, they don't feel good. So how do they make that transition of like, I don't need to be a certain weight to feel sexy?
Well, we cultivate that really early on. I created a curriculum in my studio as well as my online program that's very gentle. Like, we're not going to throw you into like booty shorts and like stilettos and tell you to climb the pole the first day. It's like anything you learn for the first time, if you go take lessons anywhere, you know, it's a little bit harder for some women than it is for others. You know, some women come in, there's like, this is not for me. And most women come in, they're like, I finally found my home. Like, this is where I want to spend my time, because for the first time, I'm concentrating on how I feel and less about how I look. So, you know, I've made lots of mistakes in business. And when I very first started, I thought, well, I really need to focus on weight loss. And a lot of times, unfortunately, I have to market it that way, you know, like come and do a sexy workout, weight the fun way. And then they come in and I'm like, I'm basically selling you what you want, but I'm giving you what you need. So when you come through the door, we're going to immediately start changing the dialogue that you have with yourself and with your body. You are not allowed to say can't. There's no like body hating whatsoever that I allow in the studio. You know, as women, it's like we're grabbing our rolls, we're grabbing our, you know, looking at our cellulite, and we're constantly looking at all of our flaws. And my instructors and I, we are conditioning these women immediately from the second that they come in. You're beautiful as you are. And why can't you feel fit, sexy, and confident now while you're on your way to working on your goals? Like, you can have body, you know, composition goals. You can want to lose 10, 20, 40, 50 pounds, but why not embody those feelings that you're chasing, right? Because we're all chasing that feeling. We're all chasing, like, what are you chasing? I want to feel happy. I want to feel sexy. I want to feel confident. Well, I'm going to give you that on day one. I'm going to teach you that you can feel sexy and you can feel confident right now, and also love your body on the way to your goal. So it's like, it's enjoying the journey, for lack of better words. And it's just conditioning and breaking old mindset loops and really getting into their heads and, you know, it's a little bit of sexy brainwash.
Yes, that it is so true. And they can start doing that right now. It's so similar to my journey. And it starts with getting around people, right? Because if you're around people that talk negative, then you're just going to be part of the group and be like, oh yeah, I'm fat too. Because it's just so common. But as soon as you have somebody call you out on it, you're like, oh, okay. Yeah, I do talk a lot negative about myself. So I'm just going to stop doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because it's like flip the script, you know?
Yeah. Because you've done it. I think pretty much anybody who's competed or been in that world, there becomes this whole body dysmorphia thing to where you never feel like you're lean enough or good enough.
Oh, for sure. I lived that nightmare for a long time. And, you know, I felt very out of my integrity, and that's a lot of the reason why I, you know, don't compete anymore. Of course, the lure of it is still there. I really love that look personally, but I also love my curvy look too. I don't think either one is wrong or not right. I just, you know, I didn't have the greatest coaches. And so, yeah, I developed a very negative relationship with food and also with my body. And that was a really, really hard struggle, but I wouldn't take that back for anything because it taught me so much. And it also helped me help other women through that process as well.
Mm-hmm. And I always say, you can't hate yourself to a leaner body, because when you're lean, you're still going to hate yourself. You're still going to think that you're fat if you've got that mindset.
Oh, girl, I was like 9% body fat, and I was looking in the mirror and I'm like, oh my gosh, you are still so fat. And it's like, what? You know, losing my hair, didn't have a period, like just, it was, you know, I was like eating 900 calories a day, doing 2 hours of exercise and teaching classes. Yeah, it was crazy, crazy body dysmorphia.
Yes. And I think all of us go through that to some extent on some range. I mean, as women, from the time we're like 12 years old on, it seems to be all about our bodies. So I'm glad we're having this conversation.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because just calling out the fact, like just taking a look at what we're saying about ourselves and just noticing it and recognizing it is the first step. So if we can do that, then that's going to get us to where we need to be. So I'm about to wrap up here, but I want to ask you, because this kind of wraps up everything we've been talking about. What is your definition of freedom?
Oh, that's so good. I just got the chills. I got the chills because I'm also a desire map facilitator. So of course, like hands down, Danielle Laporte is one of my favorite authors. And I should have also mentioned that as well. But I do work with women on desire mapping. And so the premise real quick is just leading your life by finding out what your core desired feelings are, you know, how you want to feel. And what my very top core desired feeling is free or freedom. And that looks like being completely authentic and honest in all areas of my life. And that is being transparent and not holding anything back. And I don't know if you've seen the Amy Schumer comedy special, her leather comedy special.
I have not. No, I know who she is, but I have not seen it.
Okay. It's very vulgar, but one thing that she said that like really stuck out for me was she had posed nude for I think it was like Dove or some big company and posed in a magazine, and she's like, you know, one thing you don't want to hear when you're in your underwear posing basically nude for a magazine is, wow, you're so brave. And the funny thing is I hear that all the time and I don't think of it as a negative connotation. I'm like, I feel like I'm here to be of service. And if that means I have to be vulnerable and transparent and share my stories and lessons, that's very freeing to me. That feels very free to me because I can offer hopefully some sort of nugget or something for somebody else to not have to go through some of the things that I did. And that's really all it's about for me.
See, this is why I started the podcast. All these synchronicities, right? I ask you, and you have your core desired feeling. That's freedom. That's awesome. So we'll put, do you have a link to your facilitator program that we could put in the show notes that you could share with me? Or do you do it locally?
I do it locally. 2018, I will probably be doing some virtual stuff too.
Awesome.
But I just did like a retreat and I do like in studio workshops for it. And it's so much fun. It's incredibly rewarding to see women just finally realize, like, okay, I've been sort of going through life and feeling numb and not really knowing what I want, to being very, very clear.
Mm, that's awesome. All right. Well, we're about to wrap up, and I'm going to finish with the fun part, which is the quick fire round, where I'm just going to ask you a couple questions and you just give me the first answer that you can think of. First thing, cats or dogs?
Oh, God. Dogs.
Okay. That was hard for
me. I don't have cats, but okay. There's so much more low maintenance, and yeah. I feel like I have the personality of the cat.
Yeah, you're right. The cats are low maintenance. Dogs are very needy, but they are also they're like humans. That's why. Okay.
Yes.
Next question. Your favorite Froyo toppings or combinations?
Oh, anything with peanut butter.
Mm. You're speaking my language,
Reese's,
girl.
Peanut butter cups, Reese's pieces, peanut butter topping melted on top.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
Definitely.
Totally agree. Awesome. And last question. Mm-hmm. Who do you think would be a good next guest to have on the podcast?
I think I maybe already gave you this as an idea, but definitely probably Chrissy King or Erin Brown.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Awesome.
Two really awesome women to have.
That's perfect. I'll put them on the list and hopefully have them on. All right. If there's anything else that you want to leave them with that you're just like, there's a burning desire that you need to tell them.
Don't stop learning. Don't stop learning. Like, I'm a student of life, and I just think there's so much out there that you can be discovered, and there's just so many good ideas. Like, just take action and start before you're ready, and don't stop learning. Like, I know that's a lot of things.
That's perfect. That's all they need to know.
That, yeah.
That's it.
Yes, exactly. Take action before you're ready. That's all I've done for the past 10 years. It's like throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks and just go.
Yep. That's it. I love it. Thank you so much for being on, Dan. I always love talking to you. I can't wait until we get to meet again in real life. Hopefully we can arrange that. But thank you for being on, and we'll put all your links and everything in the show notes.
Awesome. Thank you, Cammy. That was great.
Awesome. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Rule Breaker Lifestyle Podcast. The goal of this podcast is to inspire you to up-level and take action. If you found value from this show, please leave a review in iTunes by clicking See More Episodes, then scroll down to the bottom and click Write a Review. Connect with me and find the show notes at cammykennedy.com/listen.